May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
I had a good week at the monastery this past week. It was an interesting week. I spent, to be honest with you, most of the time working on Lenten meditations because I figure I'm not going to be able to type for a few weeks to come. Thought I better get as much done as I could while I was down there. I was sitting in the commons area, I guess that was Thursday morning, had my cup of coffee and I was working away on the computer writing the a Lenten meditation, and Father Gert came through and he said, "What are you trying to do, write a year's worth of sermons while you're here?" And I explained to him, no, that really wasn't what I had. But it hit me that, you know, there are people who do that, and it just kind of... But you guys, you know, you don't work months ahead on sermons, right? You know?
Hours ahead.
There you go.
Come in with a Saturday night special.
Anyway, yeah, well, we only have three that we repeat all the time. By the way, this is the relationship sermon. Okay, yeah. Anyway, but there are guys who do that. But I feel like, you know, that if you write, well, our friend Steve White, when he was getting ready to start as a pastor up in Roanoke, he told me that he already had 3 months worth of sermons done. And I was like, okay. Anyway, but it's a prophetic word that we're supposed to bring, and if you've written it 3 months ago, you better be awfully good at foreseeing the future. But, you know, for example, I mean, how many of those guys who write their sermons months in advance, I wonder how many of them actually preached the sermon that they had written on the Sunday after 9/11? See, we got to take the word that's in here and make it applicable to today. And this is not the sermon, and I better get off this topic because I'm going to keep talking. So anyway, but all right. I had a good week at Mepkin Abbey was the point. Thank you for letting me go. And thank you, God, for making it available. That was really awesome. It's All Saints. I'm going to teach you how to sign All Saints, okay? Yeah. All. Yeah. Hands back like this, and you twist it around, and your right hand in your palm. Unless you're left-handed, then it's this way. But anyway. Okay. So, all. And by the way, you know, when we do the holy, 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 the Sanctus, and where it says power and might, that's not power. This is just almighty, because power and might, it's kind of repetitive. So we do almighty, okay? So all, that's all, and then saints. Now you're going to love this, all right? You ready? Okay, this is a P, right? Everybody, P. That's P.
Is that your... Forefinger that's down?
Yeah, your forefinger that's down. Your thumb's touching your middle finger, all right? So, all and then holy people. Saints are holy people. Holy people. You have two P's and you just alternate. Holy people.
Is one finger holy? H?
No, two fingers, because this is H. G, H. Holy. Holy people. So all holy people is all saints. All right, there you go. All right. What's that?
It's also not a sermon, right?
Actually, you're right. It's not. All right, All Saints Sunday. When I was ordained priest at Holy Trinity in Mesquite, back in 1983, June 14th, 1983, after the service, one of my parishioners came up to me. And she said, "Oh, that was just such a beautiful service. That was wonderful. But I have a question for you." I said, "Okay, well, what's the question?" She said, "Can lay people become clergy?"
That's the only kind of people there are.
But see, I was a deacon already. Oh. And she saw, you know, okay, here's a deacon becoming a priest. But can lay people become priests? And you know,
skip over the
you
deacon.
Can kind of
okay.
Get where her mind was.
Skip over the deacon phase.
The same question could be asked, if you will, about saints. Who can become a saint? Can you become a saint?
Yes.
Okay. When the Episcopal Church, I think it was the Presiding Bishop's Fund for World Relief had these little stained glass things that they handed out, and on it was this little phrase. It said, "Saints are the people through whom the light shines."
Actually, I don't think it was that grammatical thing. I think it was saints are the people that the light shines through.
Okay, people are the saints who the light shines through. It was a little child who had said that. A priest had asked this child, you know, who are the saints? And he was thinking about the stained glass windows in the church and the saints that were on the stained glass windows. And so he was saying, well, the saints are the people the light shines through. But it's really a very sound theological principle, because the saints are who the light of Christ is made visible in the world. All right, it's through them that Christ is made known. While at Mepkin, I was there actually on All Saints Day, November 1st, and Father Kevin was preaching that day, and he made this statement about the saints. The saints are the people who are open to the transforming love of God. Saints are the people who are open to the transforming love of God. Both of those are really good, sound definitions, if you will, of who is a saint. And by that definition, my friends, we can all be saints. All saints. Okay? All right, so in the church, the ministers of the church, this is where a lot of people get hung up, where that dear lady at Holy Trinity got hung up. The ministers of the church are not just the ones who have the collar on, all right? The ministers of the church are the bishops, the priests, the deacons, and the laity. We are all ministers of Christ. When you are baptized, we receive you with these words. We receive you into the household of God, confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and, as Christopher said prophetically a little while ago, share with us in his eternal priesthood. Priesthood of all believers. We believe that we are all part. And just as that word came earlier too, there is really only one priesthood. Only one priesthood, and that is the priesthood of Jesus Christ. We're baptized into Christ, and we share in his priesthood. Okay? You cannot be a priest apart from Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. If you're baptized into him, you're part of the priesthood of all believers. You are, by definition, a priest. You are a minister of God, one through whom the light shines, one through whom God is working his transforming love. That's the process that we are all supposedly working at and going through. So now the question is, are you open to the transforming love of Christ in your life? Are you willing to change and become more and more like him day by day? Are you willing to let the light of Christ shine through you? Even in the very, very dark places. Okay. I'm going to give you three examples of three lay people who are doing exactly what I was trying to describe. When Miranda's sister Juliet was here last week, the two of them went off to the Arts and Crafts Fair. And she came home. Miranda came home with a magazine, Our State magazine. And on the cover, there was a cover article that just it picked my interest. Miranda had read it first, and then I read it. It's about Jason Brown. Okay, Jason Brown was an NFL player in the early 2000s. And he was the highest paid center in the NFL. He played for, I believe it was Baltimore, and then he was transferred to the Rams. And when he was picked up by the Rams, they offered him a $37.5 million contract to hike the ball to the quarterback and block for him. 16 games a year, $37.5 million. Well, in 2012, he went home one after the season, and he was with it, at his 12,000 square foot home, and his six children and his wife, and they were talking about, you know, different things, and he said, you know, I really don't know what God wants me to do. And so he went outside, and he was standing outside, and he prayed, and he said, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And he's looking out over these fields, and God said, I want you to be a farmer. And he said, God, are you sure? That's a quote out of the park. God, are you sure? And he gave up his NFL career, and he had never farmed. As he said, he learned how to farm on YouTube videos. And a friend, a neighbor, who came to his aid. Anyway, the neighbor was, quite frankly, laughing at him the whole time he was trying to farm. But anyway, but his what he heard God telling him was, I want you to farm. I want you to use this 100 acres that I've given you, and I want you to feed the poor and the hungry in the community. And so they call it, he and his wife call it, the First Fruits Farm. And they give the first fruits to the homeless shelters and other places where the homeless and the hungry can be fed. And they keep some for themselves. They keep some to keep the farm running. But the rest of it, they give. For example, this year he's expecting to harvest 300,000 pounds of sweet potatoes. The vast majority will be given to the homeless shelters. But as this person who was interviewing him kept harping on, you know, well, you gave up this career, so forth. And he said, look, if you really want to know about Jason Brown and why I left the NFL and why I came here to farm, it's Jesus, okay? There ain't no other reason. Without Jesus in my life, I'm a horrible person. I'm a selfish person. It's all about Jesus. Now, here's a man who was willing to listen to God. And when God told him something that was completely bizarre, he was willing to obey. He's somebody who, through whom the light is shining, somebody through whom God is working a transformation into the image of Christ. Awesome. Really an awesome thing. Okay, that was the first example. Second example. How many of you have been reading Christopher's blog? Anybody? Yeah.
It's okay.
I stopped writing on first.
That's fine. But the point is that he has a tremendous gift. I think most of you have been reading it would agree. He has a tremendous gift to be able to put into words things that all of us need to hear, to be perfectly honest with you. And it's his willingness to use that gift to let the light of Christ shine through. God has gifted him. If he sat on that gift and did not use it, then the body of Christ, the priesthood of all believers, would be that much less strong. Each one of us has a gift. Many of us have multiple gifts. You need to be using those gifts for the glory of God, to let the light shine through, to build up the body of Christ, and to encourage those who are not yet part of the body to join and to become one. And using your gift for the glory of God means using it well, all right? Not just as you feel so led. Doing it as if you were doing it for Christ. Let me give you an example. Are y'all familiar with the Shakers? You know, they don't exist anymore because they were, they believed in
celibacy.
So for some reason they died out. Anyway,
hard to recruit enough people to keep going.
Particularly when celibacy is a big part of it. It's really hard to recruit. But anyway, but the Shakers, the neat thing about the Shakers, have you ever seen Shaker products? They're beautiful, everything. Because the idea that the Shakers had in building a chair or weaving a basket or, you know, whatever it was, a hat box, whatever it was that they made, they truly believed that when they were making it, Jesus would use it. Jesus is going to sit on this chair that I'm making. Jesus is going to wear this hat that I'm making. Jesus is going to put his hat in this box that I've just made. You know, and everything had to be perfect. And if it wasn't perfect, then it would be discarded and they'd start all over again. Because everything that we do for the glory of God, and we do it well because it's for him. And so whatever gift God has given you, use it for his glory. All right, the third. Saint Benedict. And you go, wait a minute, that's not fair. He's already a saint. Well, yeah. But he wasn't when he started. Saint Benedict is a layman. He was never ordained. He never sought ordination. He never sought any ecclesiastical office whatsoever. Saint Benedict lived in Rome in the 5th century. And let me describe Rome in the 5th century and see if it sounds at all familiar, okay? Saint Benedict was absolutely disgusted by the moral decay of the city, the political turmoil that was going on at the time. There was always a threat of war hanging over the city because of the Germanic hordes that kept threatening to come and wipe them out. Sound like any place you know today? You know? And Benedict didn't really want to be part of all of that. And so Benedict left and he went out into the wilderness. And he was planning to be a hermit. But there were others who saw in him the light of Christ. And they followed him. And he was like, I don't want this. Wait a minute. I just want to be by myself. And as an introvert, I can really relate to that, okay? I just, you know, no. And so all these people kept clinging to him, and so he said, okay, if we're going to live together in a community, we need to have rules. And so he wrote the Rule of Saint Benedict. Okay? Very simple rule based totally on something you just heard a few minutes ago. The Beatitudes. How are you going to live? You're going to live according to the laws and the rules and the regulations of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ say? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor, for they shall see God. You know, all that stuff, you know. And he said, this is how we need to live. And we need to live the life of Christ one with another. And he calls this rule and this community that is built out of the rule a school for the Lord's service. That's all it is. We're just learning together. And this is important, okay? If we believe in the priesthood of all believers, we're learning together how to become more and more like Christ. We're learning how to yield so that the love of Christ can transform our lives, so that his light can shine through us to all in the community. It's a school for the Lord's service. And Benedict, because he was just willing to be simple and to follow the simple laws, as it were, the simple rules, he changed the world. Every monastic rule in Western Christendom is based on the rule of Saint Benedict. He changed the world just by being willing to be in Christ Jesus. And he's a layman. Okay? So here we go. That's three people, just like you, lay people, who are willing to be transformed by the love of Christ.
We saw another one last night, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We went to the gala last night, and there was all sorts of wonderful stuff going on there as well. Anyway, all right. So, in a few minutes, Father Chris is going to lead us in the renewal of our baptismal vows. These are the vows that all of us have made in our baptism, in our confirmation, and we renew these vows 4 times a year. All right? I bet you don't know which days they are. Can anybody tell me?
All Saints.
All Saints. Good guess. All Saints.
Easter.
Baptism of our Lord. Pentecost! There you go, there you go. All right. We renew our baptismal vows 4 times a year. But listen, I think one of the things that is hard about being a liturgical Christian is that Sometimes we do a lot of things by rote. I don't want you to do this by rote today. I want you to listen to what you are saying. These are vows that you are making to God. Will you really do what you're telling God that you're going to do today? What you're going to tell Him today that you're going to do forever. Okay? All right. Renewal of vows. And then at the offertory, our friend James Ramsey is going to be enrolled as a novice in the Fellowship of St. Benedict. Now, I told you a little bit about the Fellowship of St. Benedict. I want you to know that he is our proto-martyr, okay? You're the very first one to join the Fellowship of St. Benedict, and that's awesome. But what I want you to think about is, as we're going through this service, and it'll be up on the screen, you'll be able to see it, I want you to think about what it's saying. And what it's saying is essentially, I want to try and live the life of Christ. And I can't do it alone. I need to do it in fellowship with others. And I want you to think about that. Because anyone and everyone in this place can become part of the Fellowship of St. Benedict if you are confirmed in the CEC. And so I want you to think about that. See what James is doing. And do I need to be a part of that? Do I need to be one with that? And it's really an awesome opportunity. Again, look at what's being said. Is that what's something that I can do? And will it help me to be transformed by the love of Christ? Will it help me to be a way for Christ's light to shine through my life? Okay? So, a saint. Who's the saints? We're the saints. We heard that in the passage that the cat read. That prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. You can make that your prayer. Make that your prayer for this parish. Make that your prayer for this church. Let the transforming love of Christ be at work in your life. Amen.